Hello, this is Ted Marshall with at Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church. For all you guys that are here at church, and for those that may be listening to the internet, John 7:18 tells us, that's in the New Testament, whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There's nothing false about him. Today we're going to be talking about a few subjects, but before we do that, something interesting came up this last week, and I saw it, and I asked for you, you may want to take a look at it and try to find it on the internet, but in Poland, a soccer stadium, a banner was unveiled, and this banner is huge, and the banner is a picture of a huge map, and the map is of the Mideast, also including Europe, and it shows the invading armies coming from what's happening now, the invasion of the Muslim immigrants that are coming from that region into Europe. And I really can't say, and I think the Polish people get it, this isn't an immigrant invasion, this is an invasion. It's an unarmed military invasion, is exactly what it is. They get it, they understand it. Why do they understand it? Because if you take a look at Polish history, back in the 16th century, they were invaded, all of Europe was invaded by the Muslim armies, and they overran these countries very quickly until they got to Poland. Poland happened to be, at that time in history, was a very, very strong country. They had knights and crusaders that were believers in Jesus Christ and stood firm, and already had run other countries out of their country that tried to invade it. Well, they stood up and they fought back. They charged into the enemy armies, and when they charged, they had the largest cavalry charge in history. Over 60,000 mounted men and a following army. But I ask you to take a look and go on the internet and take a look at that banner which was unveiled. And it's a striking banner because it shows all these hordes of armies coming across what we call a land bridge, which is Turkey and that area where they could actually go by land and get there. They're also coming across the Mediterranean Sea and boats and so forth. But it shows them when they get to the Polish border, they faced a giant knight, a giant crusader was pictured there. You see, they understand history. They understand what had happened in the past. They understand that we are being invaded. Not only were you being invaded by a unarmed, per se, army, we're being invaded by Satan. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the military, I know in my instance, before we would go out on a patrol, or before we would, my assignment was base defense, being able to defend the air base, and our job in the canine was to go outside that perimeter and patrol in areas completely around that base. Each night before we went on patrol, we would have what's called a guard mount meeting. That means all of us would gather together and we would discuss the assignments that we have. Our orders were issued out to us of what area of responsibility, or we called in the Air Force, what post we would be serving on, or what patrol area we would be in. About once a week, we had an intel briefing from the intelligence officer would come and talk to us and tell us about what is going on out there in that area. What dangerous areas or dangerous signs have been seen out there? Where do they think the enemy may be attacking? What part of the base? What area do you think they're going to be attacking? Or what weapons will they might use? Where are the areas of danger? Believe me, we listened to that intel briefing. Of course, there was a lot of scoffing and everything about the guy that gave the briefing. Looking back on it today, I know he was God sent because he was a good man and he had the right name. In K-9, we had all the dogs, and his name was Sergeant Wolf. That was his last name. So we listened to him, right? We said, oh, Wolf ain't going to, he's not going to lie to us. He's going to tell us what really, what's going on. And one of the things that he would do, which was kind of unique for an intel briefing, before he would start his briefing, he would say, guys, what have you heard? What have you seen? Have you seen anything out there that looks unusual? And of course, my first briefing, I remember we were looking at each other, we can't see much of anything. It's nighttime when we're out there. And he says, no, I got some things I want you to look for. There's some signs out there you can look for. Footprints are one. How about areas that are crushed down a little bit where somebody has been there? Sounds that you might hear? Talking, some people out there. Have you observed anybody looking at you off in the distance? We started to understand that sometimes it's very important to listen not only to what information that we're getting, but what information we can also observe on our own. So we would go out there and do our patrol, not only just in the idea of looking and making sure the dog, we can find the bad guy, but also looking for signs of danger that we could see out there. And it started clicking in our heads. If we saw a circle path or a circled area, and it looked like it was crushed down there, and there looked like there was a mark in the middle of it, what could that be? How about a mortar being set up? That had been set up and been moved, was no longer there. Different things like this, you can get the sign. What I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to lead to is we have to not only rely on good intel, but we also have to seek ourselves what is the truth and what's going on. You see, the American Christian patriot, we're called by the power of the Holy Spirit to change the culture, not the culture to change the church. Mm-hmm. The culture is not to change the church. Mm-hmm. We are to bring the answers to the world, not the world to bring the answers mm-hmm. to the church. You see, 1 Corinthians 4:20 in the New Testament, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but it's of power. And Acts 4:12 tells us, salvation is found in no one else, but there is no other name in heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Many people react negatively. They don't believe the fact that this is not something the church decides when we're talking about absolute truths. The teaching of Jesus himself. You see, Jesus answered. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. How much more intel can you get? You're hearing it directly from the source. You're hearing it directly from God. That's what he told us. God designated Jesus, our Lord, to be the Savior of the earth, the Savior of this world. Pure fact and truth. Non-disputable, non-negotiable. You see, Satan has a method of operation, an MO. He is predictable because of his evil. It can be predicted what evil will do in a certain situation. Take for instance, to make a right decision, something good happens. You make a wrong decision, something bad happens. But Satan is a deceiver. He always has been a deceiver. The first words that he ever said to man was a lie. And he lied about the truth. He lied about what God said. He twisted it and said something different. We are now being fed lies. We're being manipulated by the minions of Satan. We're being manipulated because of falsehoods, because there is another agenda that is the same agenda that's always been, and that is the destruction of man. But you know, our God's not going to be quiet about this. Jesus Christ has already told us, and in our hearts, and He tells us each day, in Psalm 50, verse 3 through 6. Once again, that's Psalm 50, 3 through 6. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before Him, and around Him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth, and He may judge His people. Gather to Me this consecrated people, who made a covenant with Me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim His righteousness, for He is the God of justice. Also in 1 Corinthians 4:18 through 21. 1 Corinthians 4:18 through 21 tells us, some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing, and then I will find out not only who has these arrogant people who of these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Mm-hmm. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline, or shall I come to you with a gentle spirit? I believe this time the King of Kings is coming. How do you want Him to receive you? All people at one time will stand before the Lord. They will stand and be judged. How will you be judged? Well, in our heart of hearts, we're going to know. And we're going to know what side we're going to be standing on. Now, we know as believers, we know that we've been saved. But we also know that since we have been saved, that we have to follow the course directed by the Lord. We have to listen to His intel. We have to listen to His daily briefings that He gives us. They're right here in the Bible. Your daily briefings are right here. Your daily intel is right here. There is a sinister force out there that's deceiving us. And I wanted to bring an example. Recently I completed some studies and I've been reading a little bit about ISIS, or ISIL. And have you heard both those words used? ISIL and ISIS, when they're describing what's going on with with Iraq and Syria. Let's talk about this. I want to explain this a little bit to you. There is a difference between the word ISIS and ISIL. I-S-I-S, ISIS, and I-S-I-L, which is ISIL. I've kind of been suspicious about this, and wonder why our current administration wants to cling to the term ISIL instead of saying ISIS. ISIS is the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Iraq is to the east of Jordan. It's kind of shaped like a hatchet, and Syria is to the north. ISIL, I-S-I-L, is the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. Iraq is still to the east of Jordan, and the Levant is a term that comes from the rising of the sun, example to the east. and is basically the land along the Mediterranean that includes Lebanon, Israel, and similar countries. By saying ISIL, you negate Israel as its own country and lump it in with the rest of the countries along the Mediterranean. And Israel sort of disappears loose in its sovereignty. It loses its sovereignty, becomes part of the Levant, which is therefore part of ISIL. Now follow me, if you would. If you wondered, as I have, why is our government agencies, especially our president, calling ISIL and even spells it out every time it's used instead of ISIS as the rest of the world? And here's the answer. Decoding that speech reveals some startling revelations. One press conference after another, when referring to the Muslim terror supergroup ISIS, the United States president will use the term ISIL instead of the former name ISIS, our current name Islamic State. Here's the difference. What makes up the next exact center of the Muslim Levant? What's that exact center of Levant? Israel. ISIL stands for the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant. Now, to us Westerners, we don't really make much of a distinction, do we? No, honestly, from our own perspective, it's all about the same. But how would a Muslim living in the Middle East view it? Yeah, how do they see it? The geographical term Levant refers to a multi-nation region in the Middle East. It's a land bridge between Turkey to the north and Egypt to the south. If you look at a map, however, and you're in the exact middle of the nations that comprise Levant, guess what you see? It's Israel. When our president refers over and over to the Islamic State of ISIL, he is sending a message to the Muslims all over the Middle East that he personally does not recognize Israel as a sovereign nation, but as a territory belonging to the Islamic State. Now you know why the president says that he has no plan or goal and not stated aim for dealing with ISIS. But he does have a plan, and it's really nasty and diabolical. His plan is to drag its feet for as long as he can, doing only the bare minimum that Congress forces him to do. His plan is to buy ISIL as much time as he possibly can to make as many gains as they can. Listen to his press secretary and the spokesman of the State Department and his Joint Chiefs of Staff painstakingly spell out the letters ISIL, so there's no doubt in your mind. And it's working. In order, this last couple of weeks we hear, about last week we hear that he's going to send 50 special forces troops into Syria. It's not very many, is it, Drew?
Yeah, but you don't tell the enemy what you're doing.
Yeah, I know.
You don't tell them where they're going. You don't tell them what country they're going to.
Yeah.
You don't say anything if you're going to do that. You don't tell them. And why should there even be a number of how many you're going to send? Is this not warning our enemy? Is this not deceiving America? And to those that are, let's say, not up on current events? Oh yeah, the president's doing okay. He sent people there. And a huge country with all that's going on there and the huge armies that they're fighting against, 50 of our best of the best are outnumbered. And won't be as effective. And what really scares me is that 50 of our best of the best have a huge target on their back now. They're expecting them because he told them they were coming.
Mm. They meet him at the airport.
Yeah.
We have to have for you.
Lord.
Yeah.
I sometimes you want to shake your head and say, I don't get it. But thank God I've got the book that's going to tell me what it is that I'm not getting. It's going to set me straight.
Mm-hmm.
what I need to be understanding. I've got a quote of the decade I want to give you. Oh, you guys know who Sheriff Joe Arapaio is?
Arapaio, yes.
Arapaio, I'm saying that right? He's got one of the greatest quotes I've... It's the quote of the decade. I don't care if you're liberal or if you're not liberal or whatever your policies are, but you have to think about the mindset of certain belief systems. Now, a liberal paradise would be a place where everybody has a guaranteed employment, free comprehensive health care, free education, free food, free housing, free clothing, free utilities, and only law enforcement has guns. And believe it or not, there is such a place that does indeed already exist. It's called prison. Mm-hmm. Why do we want to let ourselves be enslaved? Well, because they're going to give us free stuff. There's something that's free that's out there for you. That's way beyond anything you can put in your mouth or any nice flat screen TV or anything else that's a lot more important. But unfortunately, those that should be looking at this and understanding this, minds have been clouded. They're being deceived. And as I said earlier, that deceiving has a source and an agenda. As I mentioned in Sunday school, there used to be a couple TV shows that I used to watch as a young kid. And I don't know why, what got my interest in it. Maybe it's foreseeing things to come. I used to like to watch the history series Victory at Sea. I used to like to watch, of course, the Air Force one called Air Power. And these were just little half-hour shows of history. And there was one called by the United States Army, which produced it, called The Big Picture. And as a kid, I was watching this stuff, but I was well-schooled by my grandfather on military ideas, military situations. See, he was a major in World War II, and he was also a cavalry officer in World War I. And he sat down and spread out a map of the world to me one day, because I asked him about how did World War II get started. And then he explained it to me. And we met in Monopoly. We played a Monopoly game with all the hotels, and you got the little greenhouses. And we took the Monopoly set, and we used the red houses and so forth to be one army, and the green to be something else, so he could explain it to me on a board, how the invasion started, how the thing started. And when I look at that show called The Big Picture, sometimes in an intel briefing, you have to take a look at that big picture. You have to be able to pull away from the map. Now, we're in a battleground right here. Right here, where we are at right now, is a battleground. Shirley has already seen some of the enemy be defeated and leave. Today, here, right around you, there are spirits that want to do you harm. Now, if we were to take a look at the big picture, imagine being like Google, where we can take a look at our little church. You've ever looked at our church from a Google map?
Well,
you can see it. And then, well, look, if you zoom in, that's a pretty good size. But if you back away, you see our neighborhood. We're seeing a bigger picture.
Amen.
If we back away even further, we see our town here, and our city, our county, our state. As we back away and get the big picture, we can see how all these things can affect everything around us and expand on it. In God's satellite picture, he sees the whole thing. Not just this side of the planet, but the other side too at the same time. And what he can see is not only just what's happening now, but he can see what's happening in the future and what has happened in the past. wow, what kind of intel should we be listening to? Jesus answered in John 7, 16 through 18. My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But those who seek the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There's nothing false about him. If we're seeking God, if we're seeking the Lord, seeking his view, his wisdom, his intel, and listening to his briefing, we will understand. And as that picture comes back down, zeroing way back from way back here in space looking at the planet and zooming all the way back here to this little church, all the way back to the seat that you're sitting in, and you sitting in that seat, all that is at your beck and call. All that information is at your beck and call. What do you do? How do you get the information down? First of all, we have to open our hearts up. We have to also pray for discernment that we can understand what is from Satan and what is not. What is God-led and what is godless? We have so much hope in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That he can take all the negativity, mm-hmm. all the bad things that are happening mm-hmm. in this world, and change it like that, mm-hmm. if he so desires. Or he could take all this that's going on, and all this happening, and stop everything. Mm-hmm. He's coming. He's coming soon. And as we said, as Paul said, is he coming with a spirit of kindness? Or do you want the spirit of... Well, we know what spirit he's coming in. It's in Revelations. He will be judged. He will be judging. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14 tells us, now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of this matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it be good or evil. Right from the word. Speaks right into your heart. Speaks right into today. When I look back today and I think about that Guard Mount briefing, it's what we call it, when I think about all of us looking at each other and knowing that there's 20 of us here that are getting ready to go out on an all-night mission, we paid attention. Were we scared? Yes. Would we admit it to each other? No. Of course we were scared. We were out there by ourselves. My closest backup was a half a mile away. If he's on the full side of this patrol area, the guys that were supposed to be supporting us with machine gun fire and the tower fire were probably a quarter mile away. But God did something really important for us. He gave us a partner that we could trust. Mm-hmm. He gave us a partner that I trusted and knew, because he had something that Jesus has for all of us. Unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing that Jesus has for us is not only the unconditional love, but knowing that in his heart, he died on the cross for you so you could live. See, the battle is going to be raged, and the warriors are going to be called. And all of us can be warriors. All of us can be warriors. We put on that knight suit of salvation. We put on that knight suit of righteousness, and we fight those evil spirits. We fight those that come against the Lord. And we do that by knowing the truth. Truth will set you free, right? The truth will set you free. Don't be deceived. Don't let those that are out there spoon feed you their information. Don't let those that are out there get your ear and turn your ear from what the truth is. My grandfather was also a pretty good sized guy. And I can remember one time, and he drank a little bit. And usually, I mean, he'd have a couple beers after work. And he would sit down, and as a kid, you know, I'd go in there with him, you know. It'd only be for a minute. He'd give me a hot dog or something that they had there to eat, and I'd sit down and eat it, and he would just bring his beer down and sit down at the table next to me, have a beer and eat a hot dog with me, and off we'd go. But I remember some bully coming in there. And this guy was bragging how bad he was and all this stuff. My grandfather was sitting down in a chair. He was about 6'8", and about 340 pounds. Big guy. And he was sitting down in the chair, and he was like low on the chair because he was talking to me. And we were talking back to each other. You know, when you get real low, this little kid, you get down. You know, you talk to him in the face and tease him and play with him. Well, that's what he was doing to me. And this guy came by and kicked his chair and started saying stuff like this. My grandfather just kind of looked at him and kept his attention to me. And the guy said, "I'm the toughest guy in there," blah, blah, blah. My grandfather just turned to him and said, "Son, if you got to say it, you ain't." And the bar got very quiet. They know. They used to call my grandfather Slim. It was a joke. He wasn't. You know, he was just huge, big guy. And somebody said, "Uh-oh." From the way back, I remember, and said, "Uh-oh, he's picking on Slim." And my grandfather just, I'm playing with my grandson here. I'm talking to my grandson. The guy came back at him again and put his hand on him. He simply reached up with his hands about the size of the baseball catcher's mitt. Put him on this guy's hand, just pull his hand away and just twist it. And then he stood up. And as he stood up, the guy was down there on the ground and says, "Son, I told you, you have to say that you ain't. You ain't. Why don't you leave? Let's go over like that." The guy goes to look around, and everybody in the bar, nobody's laughing. Everybody is just cold face. Because they know this guy's heading for calamity. The guy was smart. He made the right decision. We need to make the right decision. And it's not to leave, but it's to stand there for what's happening wrong around us. And have that power that Jesus has inside of us and stand and say, "No, you're not Satan. You may say and think that you're all this, but you're not. Because my God is stronger. My God has defeated you. And you're so desperate that you're going to get your butt kicked again. And you know it. And you know it. Ooh, that must hurt you. That must just, all those spiny things that he's got, that must make those things just go glug." He's like that guy standing there. He poked the wrong bear. We're a bear inside. We are bears inside. We have the strength of the Lord. We can stand up against Satan. And you know what? By example, by the smallest and weakest of us standing up to that big clown, that is seen by a lot of people. And they go, "Wow, where did they get that courage?" In Romans 16:20, Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Read that real slow and hear what it says. Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet.
Mm-hmm.
The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Scriptures are powerful. They're so powerful. I have prepared for this. I have so many things I want to say, but you know, above all, as I said, just like by my grandfather, he was a gentle giant. We can be gentle, but we're still a giant inside. We still don't want to poke the power of the Lord. Final exhortations. Philippians 4:4-5. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all that the Lord is near. Thank you for the time that you listened to me. Thank you for the time. And thank you, Jesus Christ, for being in our soul.
Mm-hmm.
For being our spirit. For guiding us, for directing us. And Thessalonians 5:23. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Teddy Bear.